Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! Boy, good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. To the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous podcast, a.k.a. iTunes' longest running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Big show this week. A couple of heavy topics off the top, and then we're going to get into our usual brand of fun and foolishness. But before all that, let me introduce my co-host, my tag team partner, ladies and gentlemen, the man from Southern California. Give it up for Marcus. My mic sounds nice. Check one. My mic sounds nice. Check two. Vandenberg, what's going on, brother?
What is up, Nate? I finally bought a new microphone. My trusty blue mic that around episode one in 2013, Nate?
Yeah, yep.
8 years. It crapped out into last year and just kept putting it off. And so finally, got a new blue microphone, a black one, because, you know.
not. No. So you had to take the old one out back like old Yella?
It served its time. It delivered some great Alfred insults, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, we all mother, you know, Father Time, it gets us all.
Yep, it's undefeated. Even Tom Brady will find that out in about a week or so, Marcus Vandenberg. But that's all I'm gonna give the folks right now in terms of our Super Bowl preview. But yeah, it's good to be talking to you, brother. I think it's crazy because the last time we talked, we had TJ on for our first show of 2021. But even though we were in a new year, we still had the old president in the White House. So this is our first show of the Biden administration. So Marcus, let me ask you before we get into these sports and then this pro wrestling and whatnot, like, has your life changed dramatically since Uncle Joe got into office?
Well, my Madden neighbor is moving out, so that's a good sign.
Seriously, that's not a bit.
No, not a bit. He's moving out I guess going back home, I think he's from Tennessee.
So he's from Tennessee?
Yeah. Tennessee. but in all seriousness, it's still a pandemic.
Yep.
There's still other things going on. Nothing's really changed. I will say, it does feel less, tense, especially here. Not having Trump around. But, you know, I guess the positive thing also as well, since he has been, we're going on a week now since he's been out of office, but we have not heard many stories about Trump and what he's doing. And I'm glad, because I had a feeling we would get these daily Trump updates.
Right.
Donald Trump golfed, and he did X, Y, and Z, but there's been no mention. He's been quiet, and I hope it would.
Well, and I think part of that, Marcus, is like he's been forced to be quiet by these social media platforms, and it's like if you're not feeding the fire with all this gasoline and all this bluster, it'll tend to die down, even though he's still out there. I think for me, it's been interesting. You know, and I mentioned on Twitter, I think the day of the inauguration, where I feel like a lot of folks are walking around now where their shoulders are a little bit lighter. You know, their head is a little bit higher, Marcus. They feel less of that existential weight on their chest every single minute of every single day that a lot of folks went through during the Trump administration. You know, things aren't going to change overnight, but I do feel like it feels like grownups are in charge. And that's a bonus right now that, like, you know, things ain't perfect. Things will never be perfect, but at least we have actual adults in these positions of power, even if they don't always act like adults.
Yeah. And even on, you know, talking about Trump not making a lot of headlines, don't really hear a lot from the White House, which is good.
It means,
you know, the White House is doing their job. They are serving the best interests of the people.
Just a nice, normal, rational White House. Like they, you know, they send out your girl, was it Jen Psaki? I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Sorry, America. But like they send little Jen out there, like a little redheaded girl from Charlie Brown. She do her little 20-40 minute press conference and then be out. Like ain't nobody yelling at nobody. Ain't nobody cussing nobody out. It's just like, what is all this normalcy, Marcus Vandenberg?
I know. And it's remarkable that we all survived 4 years of chaos.
Yes.
Because even if you're a Republican, it's still chaos. This isn't normal. This isn't normal presidential behavior. Even though that might be your quote unquote guy, there's nothing we've seen nothing like this before.
Yeah, like it very much is. I think in 2016, right? Like a lot of people that might not have even been super hardcore conservatives or super right wing or super white supremacist, you know, on that side of the totem pole. I'm just mixing up analogies here. That's what we're doing now, Marcus Vandenberg, throwing all of them in a pot. But like, I feel like there were a lot of people that just voted for chaos, right? It's like me when I look at March Madness. I want the high seas to lose, and I want all this upheaval. And that's fun on paper. But nobody really wants to watch, like, a Butler versus Holy Cross national championship game, Marcus. Don't nobody want that. And the same thing with Trump. Like, a lot of people voted for that chaos, and we got chaos every minute of every day for the last 4 years. And so it's like, yeah, like, I don't know if we're going to get this unity that everybody seems to be talking about nowadays, you know, but at least not having this crazy person, for lack of a better term, and I'm not disparaging people with genuine mental illnesses, but we had this madman up in the White House for 4 years, and now at least, you know, we just got an old man. We went from a madman to an old man, and I guess that's progress.
I mean, to be fair, they're both old. They're both. I mean,
yeah,
they're in the same age demographic. I'm not expecting unity. I am expecting the racism to be not in my face.
Racism, that good old like early 2000s racism.
Yeah, that's what I'm prepared for. I'm not prepared for, you know, someone running it up on me and calling me the N-word.
That's why your neighbor had to leave. He's like, I can't call Vandenberg the N-word to his face anymore. What kind of America is this?
What's the point of living on the block if, you know?
I mean, I was nice to you. We let you move in. We let you have a baby. Let you procreate. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, Marcus, because I think, like, Joe and them want to get a lot of stuff done. I think they'll be lucky if they get a handful of things done, right? Like, lowest possible bar. Just handle COVID and get people back to work. Just do them two things and you good, man.
Those two, I guess you got to repair the healthcare situation.
Yep.
You know, after that,
try to handle some of these angry white people out there, on these white supremacists. Try to handle some of them folks. Like, just if you can do them four things, congratulations. We'll throw you a parade in 2024.
Yeah.
Or 25, but, I guess, when you're on the way out, Joe.
Yeah, January 25. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. So far, so good. You know, the vaccine's going to be the huge, I think, project for this White House. If they can figure out how to get these 100 million vaccines, which I think really is truly 50 million people, because I think they're counting two versions, or the two doses you need of the vaccine. So if they can vaccinate 50 million people in the next 100 days, I think that will go a long way to just sort of setting the expectations for Biden, and also maybe sort of convincing the people that were not voting for Biden that, hey, this guy actually knows what he's doing.
Well, here's the thing, Marcus. As much, like, even the irredeemable people, right? Even the people that you and I can't change in this world, like the people that are so tied to white supremacy and tied to racism that they would never ever think of doing anything democratic or doing anything progressive. Like, there's one color that even supersedes black and white, and that's green. If Joe can get these people back to work, get these money in these folks' pockets, I think that'll go a long way. In terms of, like, well, you know, I don't like the guy, but, you know, I was able to get back to work. And I don't see, here's the other thing, Mark, because I got to stop doing the stereotypical Southern white man voice, because it's variations on the racist white man voice I could do. Like, I need to work on, like, my New England racist white man voice, my West Coast racist white man voice. It's a variety, a cornucopia of voices I need to go to instead of just relying on the easy trope.
That'll be your assignment for the next 4 years.
Just work on various
regional range. Yeah.
Regional racist accents. That'll be my project for the year. But yeah, Marcus, before we get into some of the heavier stuff, I want to shout out anybody checking us out live on Facebook, facebook.com/KingsofSport, or on Twitter or on the YouTube. So we doing this, we trying this, Marcus, do more of these live shows, you know, give people a little bit of that feeling of spontaneity is the word I was going for there. But also, y'all can chime in if y'all got questions, thoughts, opinions, comments. We want to hear from you as well, particularly on this next topic, because Marcus, it is no secret to anybody that's been awake today. You know, for those that are just waking up, welcome to the party. But we have hit the 1 year anniversary of the death of Kobe Bryant, as well as his daughter Gigi and those other individuals who lost their lives in the helicopter crash last year. And so, like, 1 year out from that, Marcus, what have been your thoughts on A, not only what Kobe meant, but also, you know, just kind of this past year and whether it's the mama mentality or the girl dad, or, you know, just kind of hearing various athletes come out and talk about Kobe's legacy and what Kobe meant to them. What have you thought about this past year, particularly being somebody out there in LA?
Mm-hmm. I think that Kobe was a great representation of sort of all of us that, in some sense, we're all flawed. We all have stuff that we probably have done in the past that we're probably not proud of. And I think some of the issues of athletes is they are sort of elevated to this platform where they can do no wrong. And if they are celebrated for obviously what they do on their respective sports, but then off the court, a lot of that stuff gets ignored. And for Kobe, that conversation couldn't be ignored because of what happened in Eagle and how that sort of shaped his career. I think you make a clear line from when the trial happened and how he sort of changed his demeanor from not just the media, but just his overall appreciation of women's sports. And maybe this was because he was a father of daughters, four daughters. Mm-hmm. But you could definitely see there is a shift in Kobe's personality, who, you know, prior to the trial was probably not the easiest person to sort of deal with in terms of a media sense. But, I think we'll never know truly what happened with the situation in Colorado. And I think he has managed, and he's probably one of the few athletes that has managed to go through that. And for the most part, the general population has forgiven him on some level because it did not really hurt his popularity, as we saw. Yeah. And I don't know, he's a very complex individual. And I will say his death, looking back at it now, I think probably was the first sign that 2020 was going to be a weird year, because after January 26th, it went downhill quickly. And
that's what I was going to say, Mark. It's like, if we knew then, right, what we know now. And so when you look back at the untimely death of Kobe Bryant and of Gigi, I think of three things. Number one, like you just mentioned, it was the terrible preamble to a horrible year for a lot of people with 2020. The second thing I think about is that maturation process that Kobe went through. And it's funny to say, you know, Kobe matured when you think about it, like, because Kobe was kind of an old dude when he first came into the league. You know, he was somebody that had all this culture about him, all this knowledge about him. But I don't know if Kobe had that wisdom, right? Because I think there's a difference between that knowledge and that wisdom. And it took Kobe a while to get to that wisdom. And I didn't always agree with a lot of the stuff that Kobe did in terms of his relationship with teammates, particularly his relationship with Shaq. You know, you mentioned the thing in Colorado, and we'll never know what happened out there. But I do feel like on the other side of that, we start to get a wiser Kobe, which is a lot different than Kobe with all this knowledge in his head. And like, I think one of my favorite iterations of Kobe, Marcus, was the one that we got at the time of his death, which was this elder statesman, kind of this young elder statesman of the NBA, you know, and he's, you could see with players like LeBron and some of his contemporaries, Dame Lillard, like the effect that Kobe had and the respect that these dudes had for Kobe. But then even taking that one step further, the impact that Kobe had maybe on a lot of fathers out there, particularly black and brown fathers of daughters, and the whole, you know, girl dad thing, where I think for a lot of dudes, there was maybe some kind of societal shaming, or I don't even know how to phrase it, Marcus, but I'd like I've known dudes that have just had girls, that are the fathers of just girls. And there was this kind of like feeling that they weren't quote unquote a real dude, right? Because of the way that society in large part treats women, particularly women of color. And so you had a lot of dudes that like, you could tell they would have much rather been a father to a boy. And it's like, dog, that's a terrible thing to say to your, about your daughter, man. Yeah. But I think seeing the relationship that Kobe had with Gigi, it, and it shouldn't have had to be, Marcus, but life is what it is. I think seeing Kobe and Gigi's relationship, that gave license to a lot of dudes out there to be like, yo, like I can have this real legitimate, powerful relationship with my daughter. And that doesn't make me less of a man. In fact, it makes me more of a man that I'm here stepping up and doing what I'm supposed to do for my daughter. And so hopefully that continues. Like, right. Cause we've seen like hashtags come and go, Marcus, particularly like a lot of these companies out here talking about Black Lives Matter and whatnot. Like I still ain't got my Black Lives Matter check from the Aunt Jemima CERT people. I don't know when it's coming in the mail, but I still ain't got that check yet. But I hope like the girl dad hashtag, like that's something that continues and resonates long after Kobe's been dead, because, you know, I feel like that is one tangible thing that we can take from the tragedy of losing Kobe and Gigi and all those folks on the helicopter. The tangible thing is that you got a lot of men, hopefully, that are being better fathers to their little girls.
Yeah, you can question a lot of things in Kobe's sort of personal life, but the one thing you can't argue is his love for his daughters. And, you know being a father, and then being, you know, unfortunately, he had a pretty recent newborn before his death. So that is just, you know, as you know, there's always been especially from the Black community, sometimes fathers aren't around. It happens. But Kobe, I think to your point, Nate, was always a great example of how to love your kids, especially how to love your daughters, which is, as you mentioned, different than how to love your son. So, yeah, RIP. And, yep. You know, I can't believe it's been a year. That's been the other thing, too.
Yeah, like that shows you how crazy last year was, man. That as big as losing somebody like Kobe Bryant, and in the tragic way that we lost him, like by the end of the year, yeah, you think about it, but it's not the first thing that pops into your mind, just because there was so much stuff last year.
Yeah,
like a lot of people are just tired from last year.
it's carried over to 2021. It's not been a quiet 2020.
Nope. Well, speaking of 2021, Marcus, you know, we just talked about losing Kobe last year. Well, this week, matter of fact, well, last week technically, but within this week, we lost arguably, and I'll defer to your baseball expertise, Marcus, but I would say, like, if you're doing a Mount Rushmore of all-time baseball players, particularly when you're talking about hitters, this dude's got to have a spot in those four. And that is, we lost the Atlanta legend, Major League Baseball legend, civil rights icon, as well as one of the greatest players of all time, Hank Aaron, who passed away last week, Marcus Vandenberg.
Yeah, I think it's Aaron, Ruth, Bonds, and maybe like a Ted Williams, if you're doing a Rushmore of just hitters.
Yeah.
So yeah, Hank Aaron's, you know, definitely on that list. And died at 86. It came out this morning that he died of natural causes. So there's some hotep behavior.
Man,
online.
Yeah.
Because Hank Aaron, a few weeks before his death, he got the COVID-19 vaccine via Morehouse.
Yep.
And of course, you know, Blatts being the Blatts, decided to start rumors that he died of the vaccine, which if you knew anything about Henry Aaron's health towards the end, I mean, he was very much 86 years old. So it
he's been in a, like, how long has he been in the wheelchair, Marcus?
I mean, yeah, for years now.
Yeah. That's what I was going to, like, it's been a minute. So like, we knew Hank wasn't in great health, but I was kind of surprised, Marcus, that he just went so soon. But I guess again, like 86, that's a good run.
That's a long life. And, this is sadly just the latest trend of baseball Hall of Famers that have died over the last 12 months. I think we're up to 8 or 9 people now. Tommy Lasorda.
Oh, it's so crazy. Did you? Because I think the day before, because this was on a Saturday, correct? When Hank passed, this was Saturday.
I believe so. It was. Yes, I think it was Saturday.
Okay, because the day before, Chuck D from Public Enemy put out that video. Like I missed my baseball cards or something like that. Did you see it?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's great. I think it's still up on his Twitter feed. But basically, he was talking about, like, Tommy Lasorda and all the baseball players that we lost in 2020. And it's like he put it out the day before Hank Aaron passed. I'm like, we need you to come with that remix, Chuck. Need you to. Because here's the thing about Hank Aaron, Marcus. Like, just he played before you and I were even alive. But hearing, like, fathers and uncles and even, like, mothers and aunts talk about what this dude meant to the game, and particularly what this dude meant to black baseball fans, was just incredible. I think one of the first book reports I ever did was a book on Hank Aaron. And I read the book. This is probably in like the fourth grade, maybe possibly the fifth grade. And it was like, you know, one of those little, like, you know, them stupid library books. It's like the true story of Hank Aaron by some white dude. And it was like, you know, one of them 100-page books, like, not really, like, it's enough to be a book, but not like a thick autobiography. And like probably 40 of those 100 pages were just like full page pictures of like Hank and it's Hank and Dusty Baker, and here's Hank and Eddie Matthews. And so I did my book report on Hank Aaron, and like I read that book, that 100 pages, like in a day. Like, it didn't, just cause I kept like, they start you off. It's like, it was a nothing book, but they started you off with like, just the fact that Hank grew up like dirt poor, and his mother put him on the train to go play in the Negro Leagues with $2 in his pocket. And was like, that's all we can give you. Good luck. And then he made it from the Negro Leagues to, you know, Major League Baseball, and broke Babe Ruth's record in the face of not only racism and prejudice, which was par for the course at the time, but in the face of credible death threats. So, like, I wrote this book report, Marcus, and I got, like, a C on the book report because the format that the teacher wanted the book report in, I couldn't do that after I'd read all this about this great man, Marcus. And so, like, I wrote my own, like, novel. And the teacher was just like, instead of nurturing my inquisitive mind, Marcus, she was just like, didn't follow the format. Good information, but didn't follow the rules. See, like, that's your public education system in action, America.
As an editor, sometimes you need people to follow instructions. If I say I need 1,000 words and you file 3,000 words, guess what? It's going back to you. I'm not running this.
Them 3,000 words is hot though, Marcus.
Hey, 1,000 words. Break your count.
So yeah, like, and especially like, you know, being born in Atlanta and kind of having a connection to Atlanta my whole life. Certainly Hank was somebody that I respected and admired. And even until the end, like you said, Marcus, getting the COVID vaccine publicly to try to help, entice and inspire Black people to get vaccinated. Like, Hank was just very selfless and was like, you never heard somebody say a bad word about Hank Aaron. Did you ever have any interactions with Hank, you know, given the fact that you were on that baseball beat for a while?
Did not. We had tried to set something up with Mr. Aaron through Mike Oz, who works at Yahoo, does a whole baseball card series, and we were trying to get Hank to take part in it, but it never happened, unfortunately. So, never met him. I'm trying to think if we've ever even come close. Maybe during the World Series, he might have been semi close in the same, I mean, at least in the same stadium, but never had any real interactions with him.
He was never at those owners, not the owners meetings, but what the meetings
the,
you used
the
to cover?
Meetings.
The winter meetings.
The winter meetings
with Mr. Belding.
Listen, I can say I've met Mark Paul Gosselaar, I've met Mario Lopez, and I've met Dennis Hastings, but I have not met Henry Aaron. So,
yeah, but like definitely one of the all time greats. Like again, I think the numbers are ridiculous, Marcus. Like the 23 All Star games. 25-time All-Star, Gold Gloves, MVP. I think that my favorite stat about Hank, Marcus, is if the man never hit a home run, he would have still had over 3,000 hits.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
That's, you know, never struck out 100 times in a season. Never hit 50 home runs in a season, which shows you his, you know, consistency. The fact that he was only 6 feet, he was not a big man in that sense. You equate power hitters to being sometimes bigger dudes, but he was 6 feet, under 200 pounds. You know, he's to have a career span 3 decades, you know, that's not the norm anymore. So there's a lot. I mean, he was and will always be the face of the Braves. And I saw someone tweet out something that was a suggestion for a name change, since, you know, Braves are problematic.
Yes.
And changing it to Hammers. And having the logo be a hammer. And I thought it was a great idea. And I hope that the Braves take it seriously, because as we've seen with the Washington football team and now the Cleveland Indies, that their day is coming. At some point, they're going to need to get up off this name. And, you know, I think if they wanted to soften the blowback, because there will be blowback because it's the South. I think having Hank Aaron tied into the name would be a great idea.
Yeah, for me, like as a Braves fan, like this is like there's a lot of name suggestions that people have thrown out over the years, and I just kind of like, like here's the thing, Marcus. Like, if you got a team that has a racist name, the name change suggestion. Has to be better than the racist name, right? Like, you just can't come with some old milk toast name. And so, like, Hammers was the first name suggestion that I was like, yes, that's good. Go, like, I wouldn't be mad if they went with it today, because it not only does it tie into Hank Aaron, but it ties into like Atlanta as a city. And while there's a lot of white Braves fans out there, there's a lot of chocolate Braves fans out there too. And like in the aftermath of this past election cycle, in the aftermath of, you know, so many of the civil rights icons leaving us last year, and, you know, Hank's connection to the struggle for civil rights. Like, I feel like the Atlanta Hammers, like that's a great name. And again, you don't have to change much with the tomahawk to make it look like a hammer. So I'm here for that. Like, that's, I saw that name and I'm like, yeah, like, yes, like, let's go for that. And for the Braves, they can do it without making it seem like we folded to like public pressure or whatever. Like, no, we're like, they can lie to us. Like, they'd be like, hey, we're doing this to honor our favorite son. When in actuality, they didn't want that smoke from the Native American community. But at the same time, it's like, hey, like, if I'll let you live with your fairy tale as long as you do the right thing at the end of the day.
Would you replace the Braves Chop soundtrack with Gregory Hallentine's music?
Ooh, I was thinking either that, or if you wanted to bring everything full circle, use like some MC Hammer music. I guess that's a trivia note. Like, MC Hammer got his name because he was a bat boy for the Oakland A's. And they said he looked like a young Hank Aaron. Like, he looked like young Hammer. And that's where Hammer
I can see it.
Got his name from. So, yes, like, find like a good good MC Hammer track, and you can, like, we can do the Hammer Chop now. Yeah, Atlanta Hammers. I'm with it.
Get on, Atlanta.
Yeah, the only two names I would co-sign, Marcus, are the Atlanta Hammers or the Atlanta Crackers. Those are the only two names I would co-sign. And for those that are already getting mad, like, that's an actual legit team name from like the 30s or something. So don't. Yes.
Some would say the good old days.
Some would say the good old days, Marcus. But, rest in peace to Hank Aaron, one of the all-time greats, Marcus. Like, in my opinion, he is still a home run king. And that's no shade on Barry. But we, like, look, Hank did that thing not only clean, but with death threats in his face. So it's like, come on, man.
Yeah. I did not see if Barry put out a statement. I mean, he's a pretty private person these days.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen anything yet,
but I know the Braves did like a memorial today where they had like John Smoltz and Freddie Freeman and I think Dusty Baker like call in and leave the memories of Hank and things of that nature. Some of them were really good. Others were just like, I was a great Brave and Hank is the greatest Brave and long live Hank Aaron. It's like, did you really know him? which is crazy because a lot of the Braves from like the 90s and in the early 2000s, like they worked for Hank, you know, because Hank worked in the minor league system and with the major league team. And so it's like a lot of them dudes like had a relationship with Hank. With other, I guess some of them were just like, "Hey, I didn't meet the guy, but I heard he was nice." So yeah, R.I.P. Hank Aaron. I think, does that stadium still exist in Mobile in his hometown? Like the minor league stadium / like museum? Because I think the team moved. Like that, this was the last year was the last season for the team.
Yeah, they moved. 2019 was the last year. Stadium is still there, it looks like.
Okay, so 2019 was their last year. Okay, so, yeah, because I think there's like a museum attached to it, too, right next to it. Like his childhood home, like they actually moved his childhood home next to the stadium. So maybe they just turned that whole thing into like a Hank Aaron museum complex deal.
That's a good question. I wonder if this will be extra motivation to get another team in the stadium now that he has passed. Because the stadium is not that old. It's probably...
No, I thought it was like 10 years?
97, it looks like. So,
okay. Yes. Yeah, because all the pictures I saw, it still looked like a decent stadium. So, yeah, like, maybe they'll do something to honor Hank.
Yeah, the way minor league baseball has been going these days, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of cities that have, especially this past year, lost teams.
Yeah.
Just due to downsizing. So
we'll see. Maybe I'm trying to think. So the Braves have. Do we still have Richmond
as a minor league affiliate?
Let me check and see. Because I know we've got the team. Who does Shivani do the?
Gwinnett.
Yeah, we got Gwinnett. We used to have Richmond, I know.
Richmond's gone. So you got Gwinnett, Mississippi, Rome, Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, and then the Gulf Coast League.
Okay.
Which is in Florida. So no Richmond. Okay.
Yeah, cause I was trying to see if there'd be an opening for Mobile, but I guess all them seats are filled at the moment.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, so rest in peace to legend Hank Aaron. Let's go. Let's pivot gracefully, Marcus, from the legend of Hank Aaron to the legend of Tom Brady and the growing legend of Patrick Mahomes. Super Bowl matchups are set, Marcus. Chiefs going to Tampa to play these Bucks. What did you make of the championship games, and why are you so happy that Jaheim Allen fell on his face a little bit? Because I know you got something petty for these Bills fans.
No, I at one point in time, I used to like the Buffalo Bills way back in the 90s. I was a huge Thurman Thomas fan. So I have no ill will to the Bills.
To be fair, let me bring back the two shot here, because I want the people to look at me and then look at Marcus when I say this. Because yes, I like the Bills too back in the day. Like I haven't liked them since, except for that season or two where Tyrod was there. But like Thurman Thomas and Bruce Smith, like that was a fun Jim Kelly. That was a fun team. But we all know the reason the real reason Marcus Vandenberg liked them Bills was because of that man Andre Reed. And that is who Marcus has modeled his hair game off of ever since.
Wait. Don't you dare compare my hairline to Andre Reed. That is disrespectful, Nate.
To whom?
To me. To my family.
Andre Reed had a Hall of Fame hairline, brother.
Have you seen it recently?
I have not. I'm talking about back in the 90s, Marcus. I haven't seen it recently.
You need to clarify, because
he's going through some changes.
It's bat.
I was speaking about the peak prime Andre Reed.
Okay. All right, that's better, because, you know, it's starting to, you know, he's getting beat by a DB in his hairline there. He's just backpedaling there. I'm going to send you an image.
Yeah, send me an image, because I'm still thinking about, the glory days of Andre Reed.
All right, it's in the chat.
All right, let me take a look here. At this Andre Reed. I'm going to go full screen, so I want the people to check out my full reaction for everybody watching live. All right, so Andre Reed. What is that? Okay, that shouldn't even be up there. Let me go here. Okay, let's see this Andre. Oh. So Marcus is showing me the picture from the Hall of Fame where Andre Reed's standing there and he's got the bust, the Hall of Fame bust. Marcus, what I'm saying is, like, your hair, when you was a kid, you looked up to that hair on the bust.
Okay.
Like the hairline on that bust, on that statue. But yeah, like he. And
it's not Jerry Rice bad, but it's.
No, Jerry Rice had it the worst, because he still was trying to do them cornrows where they started back around his ear. Like that ain't hot, Jerry.
Yeah.
So Marcus, you're right. Like current Andre Reed, not so much. It doesn't help that the NFL Hall of Fame jacket make all these dudes look like Century 21 salesmen. Like I don't have enough for this house. Don't worry, I'll get you in here. But let's not talk about them 90s Bills. Let's talk about these current Bills, Marcus. And the Cinderella run for Jaheim and them boys came to an abrupt end at the hands of the reigning, defending, undisputed Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Listen, the Chiefs are good. And the fact that they are getting back to another Super Bowl, I think, sort of cements the fact that how good they actually are. This is not something
they're one play, Marcus. They're one play away from going to that third straight Super Bowl.
That's right.
Like, this has been a good team for a minute now. I mean,
and Mahomes is probably, he's 25. he's probably has not reached his peak yet. When did Brady start doing the Super Bowl? Was he 25?
I want to say Brady, like when they went on their run, because the first Super Bowl was where we still had Drew Bledsoe in the picture, correct?
Yep, it was Bledsoe.
But then I want to say like late 20s is when Brady started popping, like talking about it.
Yeah, so I think
like 28, 29 maybe.
That's right. Well, 2001, Brady got hurt. And Bledsoe was involved in that game. That was the – what Super Bowl was that, the Rams? Yes, 01. That was the Rams.
Yeah.
What's the age Tom Brady was?
Because currently he's what, 83?
85.
42.
He's 85. So that was year two for Brady that he got them to the Super Bowl, or was in the Super Bowl against the Rams.
Okay. And, but when did the run start, though?
Oh, not until 03-04 was the back to back.
Okay.
So it's pretty close in age, from where Mahomes is now to where Brady was during, the titles in 01, 03, and 04.
Here's the difference, Marcus. Tom's always seemed like an old man. Even when he was young, he's always been kind of old man-ish.
Old and slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, Pat Mahomes, he's a 5-year-old man, but he's, I look at the dude and I still think, he's a kid out there. Like, there's this quality. Like, it's a Brett Favre quality to him that I think, even when Brett was an old man, he still played the game like he was a kid. And I think Pat's got a lot of that type of mentality to him without the unsolicited dick pics that Brett Favre possessed in his arsenal.
Oh, boy. Forgot about that.
That's why they call that man the gunslinger.
Pew, pew.
Shooting blanks. I will say this about the Bills real quick, Marcus, because I was hoping for a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl, not only because I wanted to see Aaron go up against Mahomes, but also that's a callback to Super Bowl I, I believe, with the Chiefs and the Packers. But I would have been this is the second best option with Brady versus Mahomes. The worst option would have been Jaheim Allen and them versus Brady and the Bucks. I don't even think I would have watched that Super Bowl, Marcus.
You would have watched. Come on,
I would have. I would have only watched for the weekend, and at halftime show, I would have been so torn and conflicted by that Super Bowl, because here's the thing, Marcus. People know, it's well documented on these shows all these years we've been doing the Kings of Sport. I have no love for that man, Tom Brady. But at least Tom Brady's accomplished something to have this mythology built around him, whereas – with our boy Jaheim, I feel like Bills Mafia was getting a little ahead of themselves with the I heard somebody this weekend talk about Josh Allen is going to be the best quarterback for the next 5-10 years. I was like,
he's not the best quarterback now.
I was like, in what world does Patrick Mahomes not exist? In what world does Aaron Rodgers not have at least one or two more good years left in him? Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson when he gets on a functional football team. Like, I like Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen has a lot of skills, and he's definitely improved this year. I think part of that is him getting better as a player, but the other part is Stephon Diggs. Like, you can't dispute what a difference having a legit number one has done for Josh Allen. But, like, I think these Bills fans, and maybe it's just because they've gone so long without hope, Marcus. Like, the only time they made the playoffs was with Tyrod, and they didn't even want Tyrod. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a long time since those Bills teams of the 90s. You know, we just saw it with Andre Reed. The last time the Bills were a perennial powerhouse, the brother had a nice hairline.
Yeah.
And now we see what that man has become. And so I feel like a lot of this Josh Allen stuff with Bills fans is just hype and hope mixing. And it's like, yeah, like I want to root for these Bills, Marcus. But Bills Mafia makes it hard sometimes.
You mentioned hype. You mentioned hope. Sprinkle in a little whiteness in there, too. That is a factor. And also, they're exciting. I think that's also a factor, too.
Yeah.
The Bills, they're fun to watch. And I think some of that just carried over into some of the overall, I guess, expectations for this team. I think they're in a good spot. I think they're maybe a year or two away from being, you know, a legit threat out of the AFC.
Yeah, like I think Josh Allen is a good player. I think he's definitely improved. Like, some of these takes is ridiculous. And you mentioned it, Marcus. I wasn't even going to go there. Like, I was thinking it certainly the whole time, but I wasn't even going to go there with the whiteness factor. But it's like, if Lamar Allen just got a tenth of the leeway that Josh Allen – did I call the man Lamar Allen?
Wow, you did.
If we could just fuse them, if we could take half of Josh Allen and half of Lamar Jackson, put them together and make one, like, kind of light-skinned quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Lamar – and, like, yes, obviously Lamar Jackson, there were questions regarding his playoff performances. But to me, it's like, I feel like Lamar gets criticized a lot more than Josh Allen. And we've seen – like, last year, Lamar Jackson has never done anything as bad as the way Josh Allen looked in that playoff loss last year, where he looked terrible.
Yeah, Lamar catches a lot of hell online. A lot of people don't like Lamar Jackson. And it makes you wonder, for a guy who's never been in trouble.
Nope.
Not really, not even a bit personality, to be honest. I mean,
no.
He's not someone who is over the top or all in the videos. You know, that's not him.
He actually said something nice about some of y'all's president last year.
Well, if anything, we should be wondering why he was trying to, you know, buddy up to Trump to get people pardoned, but that's a different discussion. So yeah, it the Lamar Jackson stuff has always been interesting to me for a guy who, you know, won the Heisman, won MVP,
yeah,
clearly talented, but for some reason, a lot of people want to, and listen, part of it could be the media's fault. This all goes back to when he was in college and when it was time to get into the combine, these reports, these anonymous scouts and executives and GMs saying that he needs to switch positions. Maybe that's in the media for reporting some of that stuff and going with it instead of saying, if you're going to, you know, have this coded racist language, you need to put your name on it. You need to say who you are. So part of it could be on us.
And here's the thing, Marcus. Like, yeah, like you can look at Lamar objectively and say, yeah, there's things he's got to work on to get to that next level. I also think the team, like, he probably needs at least one more dedicated weapon in terms of a top-notch receiver.
Well, yeah, because his receiving core, have you seen who he's throwing to this year?
He's got Hollywood Brown, and he's got Andrews, the tight end. Who else does he have?
Willie Snead
still out here catching these checks?
Who he for? The Baltimore Ravens. That's who, and no offense to Willie Snead and his family, but that's who.
Willie Snead was kind of nice for a few seasons, but those were a few seasons ago.
Yes, and that was a long time ago. I mean, he was one of Lamar's targets this year. So, yeah, he could use also Dez Bryant this year, too, came back.
That's right. Dez did come back. I forgot about that.
He came back. But I think running backs-wise, between Dobbins and Gus Edwards, they're set there. Ingram is – I think sort of the downside of his career now, but those two are good. Mark Andrews is an underrated tight end. He's very good. Get him a receiver, whether it's through the draft. I mean, this draft coming up, I don't think they could swing a trade up to get Devontae Smith, but if you could get someone like that, Jamar Chase is in the draft this year from LSU. If you can get a top and receiver to go for Lamar Jackson, I mean, look out.
I mean, again, like we saw what Stephon Diggs meant for Josh Allen. And it was like the improvement wasn't all Josh Allen, because we've seen Stephon Diggs be great with Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins is the epitome of average. Like if they were like the line of demarcation is between bad quarterback and good quarterback, Kirk Cousins is just sitting there watching the gate. Like, tell him about the gun line, boss. That's Kirk Cousins. He is the guardian of good and terrible. He is the king, the ruler of that domain of mediocrity that sits in the middle. And Stephon Diggs, like, I think Stephon Diggs got Kirk Cousins paid because of how effective they were together. So, yeah, I feel like Lamar, there are things he can do to improve, but if the guy wasn't good, he wouldn't have been the NFL MVP. Not in a league with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, right? Like, they just don't hand those things out to guys. And so the fact that Lamar Jackson is a former MVP, a recent MVP at that, I think that he gets a lot of unfair criticism a lot of times, and we know the game, Marcus Vandenberg. We know the reason. So let's go from somebody who might be unfairly covered because of the way he might look to some people to somebody who has maybe been extremely favorably covered because of the way he looked at some people. And we talking about the GOAT, Marcus Vandenberg. We talking about that man, Tom Brady, out here on these streets. Going back to one last Super Bowl.
Yeah. One last. I mean, this could be the first of a run. We don't know.
I said what I said, Marcus. Going back to one last Super Bowl. Because, look, whoever is scripting this, whoever's doing the booking, Roger Goodell, this is it, man. We going to have the GOAT versus the one who could be GOAT 10 years from now. That's a beautiful story. It's Rock Hogan WrestleMania. Don't give us no more. Just make this the final match.
So are we going to have Shawn Michaels, a.k.a. Patrick Mahomes, in the corner whispering, I love you, and then just throwing a deep pass on, I'm sorry, I love you, and just taking Tom Brady out?
I think here's the thing, Marcus. Like, I know a lot of people were complaining this year, not complaining, but were mentioning this year that this Chiefs wasn't the same high-octane offense that we've seen the last 2 years. And that the margin of victory was a lot smaller this year. And I'm like, yes, both of those things are true, Marcus. But also, they only lost one game all year. So, yeah, the games are closer. but they're winning those close games. And so I feel like this game of like the Super Bowl, like, and we can get in more in depth with it next week. But I feel like the Super Bowl will be close. But at the end of the day, I feel like the Chiefs just have more ways to win, I think, than the Bucks do.
Yeah. I don't see this being a close game. The only thing that can, I think, really help Tampa would be the defense, which has really come on.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the regular season and then all throughout the playoffs. If they can find a way to put pressure on Mahomes, I think that would be interesting because it might force Mahomes to even be more creative. If that's even possible.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, and this is no disrespect to Aaron Rodgers, who's probably going to walk away with the MVP this season. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the wheels that he had 9 years ago, Marcus.
Yeah.
And Pat Mahomes, not only does he have those wheels, but like you just mentioned, he's creative. And so, you know, he'll throw something sidearm. He might hit you with a left-handed pass. You know, he could find ways to evade that pressure. And then the other thing is, he doesn't have to go out there and just sling it down the field. All you got to do is get it to Tyreek Hill. Get it to Mecole Hardman.
Mm-hmm.
And them dudes can just take off. Like, they have so much speed with those weapons on the outside. I feel like, and the only reason I'm saying it's close, Marcus, is because, yes, while I hate that man Tom Brady, I also respect that man Tom Brady. And so I don't ever believe that the game is over until the game is over with that man Tom Brady. So I'm saying it's going to be close, but I'm hoping that it's a comfortable win for the Chiefs.
If it's not, and Tom Brady does pull this out, how does this change your view of Tom Brady at all?
Oh, see, here's the thing, Marcus. It's going to do two things at one time. It's going to make me respect Tom Brady more,
mm-hmm.
and it's also going to make me hate Tom Brady more. Just in equal measure.
Are you hating Tom Brady, or are you hating Tom Brady fans?
Oh, that's a good question, because I do hate Tom Brady fans a lot. I think I also hate, getting back to what you were talking about with Lamar Jackson, I kind of hate, like, the media around Tom Brady. Like Tom Brady getting his own last dance next year from ESPN. Mm-hmm. I'm not watching that, Marcus. This man ain't never showed me nothing that make me want to watch a 10-part Tom Brady miniseries. I'm not here for that.
It should be 12 parts for number 12.
Come on. It really should be 12 parts. Now, I'm surprised he didn't want it to be 12 just so he could have more parts to his series than Jordan. But, yeah, like I feel like Tom Brady, like, you can't dispute Tom Brady's greatness, but I do feel like there are excuses made for Tom that don't get made for other people. And that has never sat right with me.
That is the perks of being the GOAT. Sometimes you are able to have some home cooking when it comes to the media. And some
said it's better to be a white GOAT than a black sheep.
Message.
that if we didn't already have a title for this episode, that'd be the title.
Yes.
Better be the white GOAT than a black sheep. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, we'll get into our predictions and stuff next week, Marcus. But I feel like this, just from a narrative perspective, like, I feel like you and your ilk are going to have a field day for the next 2 weeks, because the stories are there. Like, I've already seen, like, pictures of Tom in his first Super Bowl as I think he was 25. And you've got, like, the side-by-side comparison of what Patrick Mahomes was doing at the time, and he's like this 7-8-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the guy that's the current GOAT versus a guy who, if he wins this Super Bowl, maybe that's setting up Patrick Mahomes in 10, 15 years to be in that echelon with Brady and Montana and Elway and Manning and those dudes. So I feel like there's a lot in terms of the legacy stuff, kind of riding on this game for maybe Patrick Mahomes. Like, if he can beat Brady head-to-head in the Super Bowl, that's about to build the mythology of Mahomes.
How about this? Tom Brady, Michigan quarterback, 8 years older than Chad Henne, Michigan quarterback. Chad Henne feels like he played in Michigan 25 years ago.
Yo.
There's still an eight-year age gap between Chad Henne and Tom Brady.
Yo, it is funny because I feel like the Chiefs in this playoff run, they've been winning just for me because they've been beating quarterbacks whose fan bases have been getting on my nerves. Mm-hmm. So they went out and they beat Baker thanks to Chad Henne and them 50-year-old legs scrambling. Like, I've never been so happy for like the catch and the fall down in the field of play so the clock runs out. I'd never been happier for that play when they beat Baker. I was like, yes. And then this past week, they beat Josh Allen. And it's no shade on Josh Allen. I respect the brother. But some of them Bills Mafia fans, including Booker T, who I saw that little gimmick he did for Fox Sports. Like, I was glad we didn't have to deal with that in the Super Bowl. So now there's only one left. One left on my list of quarterback fan bases that you need to eliminate. Patrick Mahomes, as I'm knocking stuff off my desk because I'm getting excited here. There's only one person you need to eliminate, and that is the GOAT himself, Tom Brady.
Well, at least there are not a lot of Tampa Buccaneer fans. I mean,
not yet. So, like, I feel like this next week we're going to find a lot of people that we didn't know were Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans. Like, oh, just all of a sudden.
We'll see. I mean, there's Big E. Big E's a Bucs fan.
Yeah, Big E. I think Kenny King's been walking around with a Tampa Bay Bucs mask. Like,
Kenny's from Orlando, so that makes sense.
Yep. I'd expect a lot of wrestlers, I guess, unless you work for AEW, because it's probably not a good look.
Probably not to go against the boss. But listen, the Jaguars now, Urban Meyer.
Yep, you're getting Trevor Lawrence, probably.
Trevor Lawrence, you got a lot of money to spend. I mean, the Jags next year will be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah. So, real quick, thank you for putting us on this tangent, Marcus. Because those are Super Bowl thoughts, folks. I'm looking at the clock, real quick, Marcus, I wanted to get to the big wrestling story of the day, since we did mention wrestling, and that is. The deal with Comcast, NBC Universal, and their Peacock service with the WWE Network. What did you make of it, Marcus, and what did you think when you first kind of heard that news?
It was the timing was interesting because the week before it was reported that NBC Sports Network was shutting down at the end of 2021. And I figured that the focus would be on Peacock, but I was not expecting a big splash like this when it comes to incorporating the network. I've been a network subscriber since literally day one.
Okay,
down since day one. I actually went to when they announced the network at CES in 20, it might have been 2014, the year it came out. I went to the presentation at CES in Vegas with Andreas Hale. And it'll be 7 years and 7 years coming up soon of the network. I have not really seen a lot of, I think, enhancements, improvements, and just different varieties of content. So I'm hoping that part of this deal will lead the WWE to be more motivated when it comes to not only promoting what they have on the network, but also creating new types of content, putting out some of the content they have not put out yet. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in their archive that they have not even begun to touch yet.
We need them WCW Saturday nights.
Yeah, they just stopped updating stuff. they stopped in 93.
Yeah, they're like, that's enough.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go deeper into WCW, I mean, there's worldwide they haven't touched. There's WCW Pro.
Right. Get that man Chris Cruz's royalty checks.
Where is Chris Cruz? Yeah, exactly. Even Wrestling Challenge has not really come out yet. So there's a lot there that I think, and maybe the numbers justify the effort when it comes to putting this stuff up. But I do think at this point, you should be at the point where you're able to put out or most of your library at this point and let people have the option to consume it or not.
Yeah. I think the report I saw from, friends of the program, John Pollock, and I think Andrew Thompson did some reporting on it as well, over at Post Wrestling. Everything eventually will be ported over. But I feel like they said, they're starting next year, they're going to do one original documentary a year, which feels like, okay, that's new content, but it feels like kind of underwhelming unless it's maybe like one of those prestige Last Dance kind of, like, we're going all out with this documentary to tell the story of this one time frame or this one performer.
I guess you would have to compare it to The Last Ride, which I couldn't finish. I could not sit there and look at Taker wearing his Blue Lives Matter.
Yeah, man.
Here. It did not sit right. And the fact that no one on the production side saw this and said, hey, you know what, Mark, maybe you should change your outfit, because granted, this is your show, this is your documentary. You're going to have people who are consuming this who don't want to see that, especially not this year. So how about you put on some adult clothes and come back? But that would require someone in production, someone behind the scenes that was actually diverse. And show me the lie. Show me the people that are producing these things that are diverse, and I'll take an apology. I'll apologize and say, look, I got it wrong. But I'm going to assume that the people working on this stuff are probably not sharing that point of view.
No, see, I didn't even start that episode, documentary, Marcus. Because, I told people this before, I respect Taker's career in the ring, but he was never, one of my favorite dudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was never, like if they did the same thing for Shawn Michaels, or if they did the same thing for Bret Hart, or obviously somebody like Sting, or Flair, or Steamboat, yeah, I'm there for that. But Taker, I respect the brother, but And then, look, then on top of that, you put the Blue Lives Matter, and it's like, it's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah, I mean, if that's how he rolls, that's fine. But to sort of throw it in your face like that, that's why I was just like, all right, why am I watching this?
Right. For all the effort you put into that, they could have gave me a 5-part Nia Jax documentary, and I would have been here for that, Marcus Vandenberg.
I'm not going to comment on that after last night's Raw. Gonna keep it moving,
son. We go keep moving, because I'll be here all day talking about that National Treasure Nia Jax out here on these streets. But let me say about this, Marcus, because I don't know if you've signed up for Peacock, but I actually did.
Yeah,
because Peacock is this weird kind of network right now. I think a lot of these streaming services are trying to find out what they are. And Peacock is at once like The Office and all these NBC sitcoms and Saturday Night Live, but it's also low key like this destination for black thought and black comedy, where you got Larry Wilmore show, you got Amber Ruffin show, Zelina Maxwell out here with a show on Peacock, Marcus. So it's
no idea. There's been no promotion behind this.
No, the only way I knew that was because I was watching MSNBC this weekend, and Zelina was on there, and it was like, by the way, don't forget to watch Zelina's show on Peacock. And I'm like, let me check that out. And it's this weird thing where they've got like this little grouping of progressive black shows. They've got like the NBC sports that are on there, kind of sorta. So what do you think of Peacock? Because I think ultimately, it's going to be a good fit for the network. Like, I think at first it might be a little bit kind of wonky, but eventually it just makes sense for them to continue their partnership.
I'm not a fan of interface. I think that the current UI needs to be overhauled already, and hopefully that's something that they worked on this year. I use it mostly for soccer to keep up with the Premier League, because a lot of that content was on cable TV, and they're now trying to force some of that on Peacock. I also use it to watch Saved by the Bell, which I have not finished the reboot yet. I watched 3 episodes, I think, during the holidays and never got around to it. So,
oh, that's right. I haven't started that either. Is it any good, the episodes you've seen?
It is good. I mean, it's not – if you're expecting Saved by the Bell, you're probably going to be a little disappointed. But for what they were able to do – in terms of casting a diverse, you know, crew and sort of having smart dialogue within the silly Saved by the Bell universe, I thought it was pretty good. So, and there's enough.
I'm trying to think, because we've seen, like, on the ads, I saw, like, the main kids are there except for Screech and Lisa. Does your man, Mr. Belding, show up?
I believe he does at one point. I haven't finished, but I think he does. And Lisa does make a cameo as well at some point.
Okay, okay. So everybody getting that check except for Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond, who is battling cancer.
Last week. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he stopped cancer.
Oh, wow. So, wow. See, that destroyed my joke I was about to make. But yeah, get well. Get well. Speedy recovery to Screech out here.
Yeah, Screech is not involved in this. So. But I think there's potential there for Peacock. I've signed up for the $4.99 service. So I think I'll just keep paying the $9 I'm paying to the network, and I just upgrade to no commercials and do it that way. But from a fan perspective, this is great for.
I was gonna say it's a win-win, because if you're somebody that's already paying for the network, either now you're gonna pay half of what you pay for the network, or you'll pay the same price and get all of this other stuff, all this other content, basically for free.
So then I mean, the Office just moved over. That was a big deal when it left Netflix, so now people can continue to watch The Office. So I think there's definitely some, and there is a bunch of sort of like Pluto TV. There are a bunch of just streaming network options. So like, if you want to watch an episode of SNL, you can go on and there's a SNL episode playing. So that also is a pretty cool feature where if you're just bored with TV and you want to turn something on, you can find something to watch.
I agree with what you're saying about the interface with Peacock, but I kind of like it better than in terms of my streaming channels right now. Like, I think Disney Plus is still on top for me. After Disney, maybe HBO Max, but like after that, to me, I use Peacock a lot more than Netflix at this point.
So do I. Yeah. And then Netflix keeps going up. It's now $17.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Like, Netflix keep trying to, like, we in a pandemic, Netflix. Why are you out here playing with people? So, yeah, like, I feel like this is a smart move, Mark. It's not just for NBC Universal and Peacock to get more subscribers, but also for the WWE Network, where I think, the last count, they were like at 1.5 million. Subscribers. And we don't even know how many of those were actually subscribed and paying, and how many of those were on some sort of free trial and whatever. We're getting make goods, but to go from 1.5 million to what is it, like 22 million, 25 million people that have access to Peacock, like, that's a big jump in prospective viewers for the WWE. And even though they're not going to do it, Marcus, like, now would be a really good time to improve your product, because you might have more eyeballs on it now.
Well, what's the motivation when you're getting a billion plus off of this deal? plus the Raw money, plus the SmackDown money.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no motivation to improve at this point because people are going to watch or not watch, but it doesn't matter yet in terms of the big picture.
Nope. And that's why Raw is the way it is.
I mean, it's not just Raw. I mean, SmackDown is better in comparison than Raw, but
SmackDown's like, better, but it's not great.
NXT. Yeah, it's not a great time for the overall wrestling product for WWE, considering that they have so much talent that it's just going to waste.
Yeah. So I'm excited for this, man. I think it's a good move for everybody involved, even the fans. Like, for once, the fans didn't get screwed by some corporate machinations out here, Mark. It's like we actually got a break in these uncertain times.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. Like, maybe we'll do that, Marcus, 1 week. I'll have to check out this Saved by the Bell on this Peacock and we'll have to do a review on it, maybe for the Patreon or something.
That works, yeah. I think you'll like it. It's a smart show. It's smart for a reboot.
Well, yeah, I saw like the little clips I seen, like the one where they're talking about the like white privilege. I'm like, oh, this ain't the Bayside I remember.
No, Bayside is been what's the opposite of gentrified. Blackified.
Bayside's been it's taking on an urban aesthetic.
Yes.
Do they have a new theme song? That's all I'm gonna ask.
I think Little Dicky did the theme song.
Wow, that could either be great or terrible.
It's not great.
Not great.
No.
Damn it, Little Dicky. I was just gonna joke, Mark, because I was like, do they have a rap theme now? And then you're like, oh, Little Dicky does it. Like,
let me make sure. I don't want to slander Little Dicky.
slander the creative talents of one Little Dicky. man. So yeah, like Peacock, WWE, it makes sense because they was already breaking bread with NBC Universal in the first place.
Little Yachty.
Oh, Little Yachty. Oh, okay. Yeah, Little Yachty did the song for the Teen Titans movie. The Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Little Yachty would not be someone I would picture as being the theme song for kids' movies.
Yeah, Little Yachty did the theme song for Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and I think they actually like did the video, like made a video where he was animated and he was in there with them. I took my nieces to that, whatever that, like I guess 2 years ago when that movie came out. It was actually surprisingly good. I was pleasantly surprised because I thought that movie was going to be garbage, but it ended up being kind of like a kiddie version of Deadpool, in a way, where there was some like deep cuts and breaking the fourth wall and some like comic book geeky stuff that they brought up. Like, you know what? I'm not mad at this movie. I'm not even mad at Lil Yachty over here. But no, I would have never pegged Lil Yachty for Saved by the Bell.
No, not at all.
So we'll have to check that out. Oh, I wonder, Marcus, because I think the first year we did the show, the first year we started the Kings of Sport, I think at the time I was listening to the Saved by the Bell podcast. I don't know if you put me on to it or if somebody else did. With the
podcast back then?
I forget her name, but she was a comedian. And she reviewed every episode of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, I remember this. Yes, yes.
I wonder if she done brought the show back.
There's a new Saved by the Bell podcast. Have we talked about this?
No, we haven't.
It's called Zach to the Future.
Mm.
And It is hosted by the guy who did the Zach Morris's trash videos.
Ah, yes, yes.
And Mark Paul Gosselaar, who...
Wait. The Mark Paul Gosselaar?
The Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Who, Franklin or Bash or Franklin and Bash?
That's the one. That's the one. He, okay. It's him and Dashiell Driscoll, but Mark Paul has not watched the episodes ever.
Oh, wow.
He never watched them. He, you know, obviously he took part of them, but he went back right. And watched them. So, and his memory is pretty trash. So he is pretty much watching this brand new.
I mean, and, to be fair, that was like, what, 20 years ago? 30 maybe at this point?
30. It was 30 years ago.
Yeah, to be fair. Like, it's been a minute for old Mark Paul.
Yeah. So they're doing episode by episode. I think they're now on season 2 of the actual TV series. And
oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, if you like Taylor Bell, I would recommend it because he, you know, he's sort of reliving all this stuff. They've had Tiffany Thiessen on.
Okay.
They had Elizabeth Berkley on. So different episodes they've had people pop on. Had Ed Alonso on. So they've managed to get some guests from the show that talked about the episodes. So
okay, that's cool. I like that because that's kind of like the Scrubs podcast with Donald Faison and Zach Braff,
mm-hmm.
where you get like the actual people involved with the show talking about the show and going through the episodes. Like that's, I'm surprised that hadn't caught on more, but maybe just because now people have more time because everybody's stuck at home, these things are starting to pop up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's so. What's the name of the show again?
It's called Zach to the Future.
Zach to the Future. I'm about to check that out. Cool. And then the other one I was talking about was Bayside with April Richardson.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, well, she went back through every episode. Isn't this like this show was back in like the I want to say 2013, 2014 was when she started, something like that. But yeah, she was really good. So I was wondering if she came back, but apparently I'm looking and she hasn't. But who knows? Maybe she's waiting for that Zach Attack hotness. She wants that bump.
Someone can review the new class. I mean, no one's really touched pile of garbage that went for 7 seasons, by the way.
No. Before we get to the new class, somebody got to holler at that man, Bob Golic, and come out with the Saved by the Bell. Maybe that's all right, Marcus. Maybe we can holler at Bob Golic and get a Saved by the Bell, the college years review show going. Because it's only going to be, what, 8 episodes, 9 episodes at most?
It was one season. It might have been 12 or 13.
Yeah, we can commit to 13 episodes with Bob Golic. of the Golic family.
What else is he doing? Mike Rogers. 19 episodes.
Oh, it was 19. Okay. Put some respect on their name.
Yes.
Was Bob the Golic brother that did like the bloopers show, or was that Mike?
I think it was Bob. It wasn't the ESPN one.
Okay. See, yeah, Bob Golic has some TV, skills.
I didn't realize that Professor Lasky was in Better Call Saul.
Huh. We're going to have to check. Yeah, see, there's so much, like, we went down this Saved by the Bell wormhole now.
Doesn't take much.
I'm looking like I see a lot of Saved by the Bell podcasts, Marcus. I was just Googling real mm-hmm. quick. I even see like a show for the new class, but ain't nobody out here touching these college years, Marcus. That could be our lane, son.
Could be.
We standing on the edge of tomorrow, Marcus.
Oh, man. Back to Chow U.
Yes. So, yeah. Like, who knows, man? We definitely going to talk about the Peacock Saved by the Bell after I get through watching it. But who knows? Maybe on the Patreon we'll talk about some Saved by the Bell in college years and find a way to wrangle Bob Golic into this. If not Bob Golic, maybe, like, you know, Mike Golic Jr. be down for something like that.
Talk about his, yeah, maybe.
His uncle. but yeah, so let's end the show here, Marcus, because now I really want to go on. You've whet my appetite. I really want to go and see what this Saved by the Bell on Peacock is talking about.
Yeah, you should check it out.
I'm going to check that out and have a little dinner and relax and not have to worry about the president tweeting anything crazy tonight. Because that's the times we live in right now, Marcus, where we don't have to worry about that type of stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get out of here, brother, let the people know where they can find you on these social media streets. And if you got anything coming up with those good people at Yahoo Sports. And I'm gonna put you on the full screen so I can do some Googling while you let the people know, pulling the curtain back.
Yeah, you can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill. And if you mentioned Kobe Bryant off the top, we did a number of stories over at Yahoo Sports starting Sunday on Kobe and the 1 year. So feel free to check that out. We've got stories about his involvement with promoting the WNBA orange hoodie and how was a huge factor in that, sort of, you know, almost by accident. Got a story on his relationship with one of the photographers from the Mambas, which was the team that he played on, and her talking about being at the gym 1 year ago and finding out the news and sort of describing that scene. So got video essays. We have a bunch of stuff. I was very proud of the work we did. So you can check that out at Yahoo Sports.
Very cool. Very cool. Definitely had to check that out. I don't know why I went to like the big little box after this. There we go. Now we back on equal footing, brother. But definitely check out from Marcus and the good people over at Yahoo Sports. If you want to hear more from me, you can check me out on Twitter at @in8, MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/KingsSport. And I'm trying to think this week, do I have anything other than the Kings of Sport coming out? I've got the main event with Place to Be Nation. There's a brand new episode of the Rocky Maivia Picture Show over at Post Wrestling talking about Fast and Furious 7. Yeah, 7. That's the one where Paul Walker.
Yeah, 7.
I've done so many of them. I had to get my mind right. Fast and Furious 7. And then who knows? There might be another show popping up on your feeds sometime later this week. But y'all just have to stay tuned. So that is our show this week again. RIP to Kobe. RIP to Gigi. RIP to Hammer and Hank Aaron. And, we got a week before the biggest game of the year, Marcus. So I'm sure there'll be a shortage of conversation and think pieces out there for people to get into before we talk to them next. but that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Thanks for checking us out. Shout out to everybody that's been watching the live show. Again, we kind of getting the hang of this here live show gimmick. I like all these things I can do aesthetically here. We're aesthetically urban, Marcus. But we'll be back probably next week with a full preview of the Super Bowl. What number are we up to, Marcus?
Oh, man.
I know it's LIV, correct? No, that was last year.
Right?
That was like last year was Liv. Last year was Liv. This year is LV.
Yeah, 55.
55. Okay. Super Bowl 55. It's fitting because one of the quarterbacks on the team is 55. So we'll see. We'll see if Tom and them boys can step up to the young lion, Patrick Mahomes, in the Chiefs kingdom. But until then, everybody have a good week. Be safe. For Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. And remember, today, we're standing on the edge of tomorrow. From here, the future looks bright for me. And it's all up to me how far I go. It's my time to break away, because we are standing at the edge of tomorrow. Today. Like, I'm freeze framing it for the people watching, but if you listen to the podcast, it's going to be dead air. So
we're going to put Peter Engel right under the report.
Yes. Directed by, produced by Peter Engel.
Yes.
Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-D-D-Y-F-X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
That's a W. Let's eat one. Let's eat one. That's a W. How many people want to eat a W tonight? Yeah. How many want to eat a W tonight? Yeah. Come on. Come in.